Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning checkup. With us today, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Thomas Moran. Doctor, good morning. And we don't want to give people something else to worry about at the beginning of the week, but this new study of people who caught COVID in 2020 is a bit concerning, isn't it?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. The study really looked at those that contracted COVID in 2020 before there were vaccines, and they looked at about 11,000 people who had positive tests for COVID and tracked them to see their risk for developing heart attacks or strokes. And they saw an increase in the risk factor for those people who contracted COVID, and they did have a higher risk going into it to having a heart attack or a stroke. Now, some of the reasons around this is COVID, the virus, affects all our cells. The hypothesis is that it's infecting the cells that line our arteries, the arteries that supply our heart, and that inflammation process can lead to increased risk of developing a stroke or a heart attack.
Now, these were people who were not vaccinated, is that right?
Correct. Yeah, it was in 2020 before the vaccines were available. They didn't do a comparison of after the vaccines, which kind of temporizes the infection, lowers the overall symptoms that we're having, and the risk for hospitalization. The study also looked at those individuals who contracted COVID but were, you know, at a little bit higher risk already to developing a heart attack or a stroke, but were taking aspirin, and they found that those that were taking aspirin didn't have an increased risk for developing stroke or heart attack.
Well, we do have some good news this morning. This is research about vitamin D and how it can actually help with heart health, can't it?
Yes. Vitamin D, when you look at it, it's a good time to talk about it because we're going into the periods of less and less sunlight. Vitamin D is looked at as a supplement that could give a protective factor for lowering your cardiovascular risk. People that take it as a supplement have overall lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol, lower glucose, better A1Cs. The thing you look at it is you could take it as a supplement, and you can also get vitamin D production naturally by getting out in the sun, usually 2 to 3 times a week of getting, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes of sun exposure can give you a good boost of vitamin D. But those that don't have it, especially in the northern climates, as we get more and more into darkness in the morning when you go to work and darkness when you come home, taking a supplement of about 600 international units a day should do you good in giving you an added protective lowering your risk for heart or strokes, heart attacks or strokes.
Any danger in taking too much vitamin D?
Too much of anything can have its own risk. It's one of those things. Moderation is really good. A good balanced diet. If you're not getting enough vitamin D and you tested with your doctor that you're low, it'll be good to go on a supplement for it. But taking more and more of one thing is not good.
Sunlight and your diet, better sources than the supplement. Is that right?
Overall, if you can get it from your diet and naturally from the sun, you're doing good. And really coordinate with your doctor, get a test, see where you stand. If you're in the normal range and you're doing good with the diet and some sun exposure, there's no really overall need to supplement it. But it's not going to hurt you if you take the recommended allowance a day and not overdo it.
And it could help with your blood pressure. And that brings up an interesting question. And I always wonder about this. You go to the doctor's office, he takes your blood pressure, but sometimes you're nervous when you go see the doctor. So how accurate is that reading?
You know, it's a common test that we get done all the time, every time we go into the office. It is one of those tests that it seems very simple, but it has a kind of setup that allows for the test to be very accurate. You have to understand that there are individuals that are going in getting their blood pressure reading done, and if it's not done correctly, you can have somewhat elevated blood pressure readings, and that could indicate that your doc might be putting you on a blood pressure medication. So a good way of managing it is think of going into the doctor's office, go to the bathroom before you get there, take about 5 minutes, a little bit, to just relax and just rest a little bit. Sit in a chair, have your feet on the ground, don't have your legs crossed, don't dangle your legs. Sit back against the chair with your back, take a couple of nice, easy breaths, and then it's up to the operator that's doing the blood pressure reading to make sure the cuff's in the right position on your arm, and your arm is supported. It's not dangling, it's not crossing across your lap, and you should get a good reading with it. It's important because, like I said earlier, this is it's a simple test, but there's ramifications that go on to it that can put you on a blood pressure medication that you don't need. And that's why it's important to take not only your blood pressure reading when you go to the doctor's office, but also get your blood pressure reading at home so you can see what it is consistently and bring that into your doctor so they can make a better evaluation of do you or do you not have high blood pressure.
Are those machines, those blood pressure machines in some grocery stores and drug stores accurate?
You know, it really depends on how often they're calibrated and you going in there. If you're rushing through going in there and you're trying to get it done really quick, you know, people are looking at you and watching you. Sometimes your anxiety goes up a little bit. You could get a falsely elevated reading. But overall, majority of the electronic blood pressure cuffs that are out there are really accurate if placed on your arm correctly and you follow through with, you know, keep your feet on the ground, take a couple deep breaths, sit for a little bit before you get the reading, and you should get a fairly accurate reading.
More of our Monday health briefs now with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Thomas Moran. Dr. Moran, I have always heard about this sardine-only diet, and the word is it's very healthy. It's a popular trend. People lose weight on this diet. But talk about what the downside of this might be.
Yeah. This is another one of those, I think, trends where one thing is going to cure everything for you. Sardines are great. They're extremely healthy. They have great vitamin D, calcium, omega-3 fatty acids, but they're not the all-encompassing food for you. They lack vitamin C, B, magnesium, and they have high levels of salt. So just consuming one food item continuously is not going to give you a balanced diet. It's not going to supply your body with the fuel, energy, vitamins, and minerals that it needs. You might end up losing weight. You might end up overall, you know, feeling a little bit better because of that weight loss, but are you actually fueling your body in a healthy way in a balanced diet? It's just like we talked about beforehand. It's any one thing in excess is not necessarily overall good for you. Incorporating sardines into your diet is great. I think more people should eat them. They're a highly nutritious food, but I wouldn't concentrate on just trying to eat sardines. I don't know anyone that could do that every single day, especially for breakfast.
You know, once in a while, I would have a sardine sandwich on rye with some lettuce, tomato, and onion, but yeah, not every day. Mom was right. Eat a little bit of everything, right?
That's right.
And before we let you go, Doc, so many people suffering from Crohn's, and for a lot of folks, the treatment isn't working, and now we know why. Can you go through a couple of reasons?
Yeah, I mean, people with Crohn's, it's an inflammatory bowel disease. Crohn's affects any area along your digestive tract from your mouth all the way down to your anus. So you can get inflammation in that tube that carries your food through. It goes throughout the entire surface of the digestive tract. So you can get ulcerations or fistulas. Bowel obstructions can happen from this. And the medications are there to control that inflammation. Medications need to be taken on a regular prescribed basis. Can't forget them. Forgetting them sometimes leads to flare-ups in your condition. That's one of the reasons that you can have, hey, my med's not working for me. Another part of it is the way Crohn's actually affects the bowel is it affects different areas. There are medications that sometimes target certain areas of the bowel that are inflamed, and you have to kind of coordinate with your doc of which med is working well for you. And then the other side of it is sometimes you have to go on multiple multiple medications, including some steroids, to help kind of temporize the inflammation that's there. The other side of it is there are some people who have Crohn's that smoke. Smoking in itself can worsen symptoms, decreases the overall medication effect that's out there. And then diet plays a role also. In what you're looking at in your diet, it's trying to avoid carbonated drinks, decrease your overall fiber. This is kind of a little bit opposite of what we typically would say. You want to stay really hydrated, and you want to have a low salt and low fat diet overall. And doing that and kind of taking your medications regularly, coordinating with your doc your symptoms and what medications you're on to optimize your medical regimen, watching your diet and eating in a healthy way for your Crohn's disease, and of course stop smoking is one of the things that could balance you out and better have you control your Crohn's flare-ups and hopefully not have any of the conditions that make it having to have surgery or anything like that.
Those are probably good tips for all of us. That and hold the daily sardines. Dr. Thomas Moran, thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Bob. Take care.
You as well.